Welcome. I am Pastor Nathan Strobel, privileged to be one of the four pastors here at St. Paul's in Muskego and welcoming you to worship today, the weekend of August 8, 9, and 12, how we worship here at St. Paul's, and I am privileged to be your presiding minister. Pastor Pete is our message bringer today as we continue our sermon series entitled In View of God's Mercy. In view of God's mercy, we as God's people live our lives differently, knowing Jesus as our Savior. And today he will challenge us and inspire us through a picture with tools. So moms and dads, be set to pull your kids into the picture of the tools he's going to share and share with them the application that in view of God's mercy, we serve as we are gifted in humility. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you may be in the habit of tuning out right after the sermon is over, which is all right, awesome. But if you hang around today through the prayers and the closing hymn, Sue Gettimer has an amazing postlude today that you will love, and you may even dance in your living room, just saying. Two things to highlight for us to think about and pray about. Awake and Alive, the ministry connected to St. Paul's through Mike Wessendorf, and the cadre of people that help him do this ministry is focused in on 18 to 25 year olds. And this coming Sunday night at 6:30, you can send your 18 to 25 year old, or somewhere around that range, to awakealive.com, 6:30. Mike is leading a Bible study and a group discussion off of the book of Nehemiah about standing strong and persevering through opposition to our Christian walk. And finally, something for you to think about and pray about. As our school is working to reopen very soon, please keep our staff and our school administrator, Seth Fitzsimmons, in your prayers as they are navigating this COVID-19 world and the changing directives coming through all different agencies. It is a real struggle for them that they are doing joyfully for God's people, but keep them in your prayers. The desire is to be able to minister to your children, to our children, with the Word of God brought to bear on all of their studies. And that's the heart of our teachers, to bring Jesus to your kids every day. So keep that in your prayers, and may God, in His mercy, grace, and wisdom, allow us to safely open. After all, you and I live our lives every day in view of God's mercy. And so we pray, we hope, we plan, and we wait to see what He will do. God's blessings on worship and joy to the glory of His name.
Welcome to St. Paul's Worship. Glad that you can join us. Today we are going to be talking about tools. And if the kids are watching right now, I ask you to make sure that your moms and dads don't throw away a key tool that you will need for the next few weeks. So paper towel roll or a toilet paper roll. You can use these as telescopes because we want to view life in a new way, to view life through God's mercy. Our message series is In View of God's Mercy. As we think about life, we want to look at it through the mercy of God. And I would encourage you to find one of these rolls, and if you want to color it and decorate it and send me a picture to just kind of make my day, just to know that we're worshiping together. But keep it for the next few weeks, because we're going to be looking at the last part of Romans and just thinking about life and how God's mercy changes our life. So as we look at life through God's mercy, what difference does it make today? And today, I'm going to be using tools, not a paper towel roll, but another kind of tool set to teach us about serving in humility. Let's begin our worship today by singing the hymn, Every Morning, Mercies New.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Dear God, our perfect Heavenly Father, nothing is hidden from you. You have searched us and you know us. You perceive our thoughts from afar. You are familiar with all our ways.
You know every sinful thought that flits through our minds and every evil deed we have ever committed. It does not matter if we have done them in the open or hidden behind closed doors. There is nowhere we can run or hide.
Yet, Father, you have taught that we do not need to hide. When we come to you and confess our sin, you are gracious and merciful. You forgive us in Christ. We run to you, therefore, dear Father, and confess our sin, seeking refuge in your loving and forgiving arms. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God,
maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
All blessed God, thanks and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit, the God who saved us by his grace. All glory to his name.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, the good we want to do, we do not do. The evil we do not want to do, this we keep on doing.
Lord, we are weak, but you are strong.
Pour your strength into us through your word and sacrament. You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first word of God for our hearing today is taken from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. Service in humility. At the beginning of his reign as king over all of Israel, Solomon was wise enough and humble enough to approach his God and ask him for the wisdom that he needed and that you and I need to truly serve our God and each other with humility. 1 Kings 3, 5 through 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God asked, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." This is the first word of our God. The gospel lesson for today is taken from Matthew 13, verses 44 through 52. And if you have the worship folder printed out in front of you or open on your iPad, I just love the two lines of introduction included in that worship folder. Jesus' parables are like puzzles for our mind. easy to remember, but challenging to understand. Nothing is more important than being a part of the kingdom of heaven is the gist, the kernel of this parable. Matthew 13, 44 through 52. The words of Jesus himself. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the gospel of our God.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
And we continue with hymn 523, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. There's a lot of tension in our world right now. How do we cope with people who act and think different than we do? How do we deal with people who mistreat us? How do we overcome? Let God's mercy to us be our motivation. Let God's grace be the foundation of our compassion. Look back to the cross and empty tomb. Remember the unfathomable grace and mercy we have received. How do we deal with tension? We find the answers when we remember to live in view of God's mercy.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to you today from underneath the cross and behind the altar. I'm underneath the cross because our message series says, in view of God's mercy. And underneath the cross, I'm reminded that God looks at me through the cross of Christ, and I am certain of his mercy and forgiveness. And I'm standing here behind the altar because the Apostle Paul said, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. How do we offer our bodies as sacrifices to God? It's not just by saying, God, I love you. It's by us offering our lives to each other. And so I'm standing here behind the altar talking to you today to remind me that as my worship in view of God's mercy to me, and this is true of you too, we offer our entire lives on the altar, on God's altar, in service to others. Now that's really what the whole message series is about. This whole idea of serving others. And the Apostle Paul, as he works through the last part of Romans, will explain different ways that we can serve each other and show love towards each other, that we sacrifice ourselves for each other. The first lesson is one that I would like to use my wrench set to illustrate. Now, in this wrench set, which wrench is the most important wrench? Well, when I was little, I always thought the biggest wrench was the most important. When I was out on my dad's workshop, I'd always pull out the biggest wrench and think that I was doing some really important work. But I don't think my dad would have agreed that the biggest wrench is the most important wrench, because sometimes you need the 3/8-inch wrench. You see, an inch wrench is not going to remove a 3/8-inch bolt. And at the same time, a 3/8-inch wrench is not going to loosen a 1-inch nut. So which one of these tools is the most important? Well, they're all important. There is no pride in a wrench set. One is not more important than others. They are all equally vitally important. There's no envy in a wrench set either. You know, if you pull out the 5/8-inch wrench, does the inch size wrench go, oh, I'm so envious, the owner is using the 5/8 and not me? Of course not. The owner isn't saying the 5/8-inch wrench is my favorite wrench. He's just saying, for the job that I have to do right now, this is the tool that I need. There's no envy in a wrench set. That's really the idea that the Apostle Paul is teaching us in the first part of our text for today. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about us as tools, people with spiritual gifts that are to be useful for others. This is part of the way that we offer ourselves to God, by serving each other in humility. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So, by the grace given me, Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Oh. We understand through the faith that we are all different, and if the Maker makes us this way, that's His plan. I didn't make myself with those tools or with that ability. Or if He made me this way, that was part of the Maker's plan. In humility, I just recognize that whatever gift and ability that I have, whatever gift and ability that you have, who are we to look in pride at each other? Because we didn't make ourselves. Somebody else made us a part of His wrench set, His toolkit. There's no pride in a wrench set. There's no envy in a wrench set either. The Apostle Paul mentions that we all have different gifts given to us for the common good. This is what I just love about this concept of spiritual gifts. When I was younger, it was very obvious the sinful nature was warring within me because I would see the abilities that others have and I'd just be filled with envy. I wouldn't want to admit it, but it was there. And my guess is that's true of all of us, at least to some extent, sometimes in our lives. But if it's true that we are all part of God's toolkit here, He has given each person different gifts for the common good, for the benefit of all of us. And so I don't have to be envious, for example, of Pastor Keel's administrative ability, his uncanny way of being able to listen to a discussion and pull out, here are the three main points. I don't have to be envious of that ability because, in a sense, it's mine. Because the Holy Spirit gave Pastor Keel that gift to bless me as well. Why should I be envious? I don't have to be envious of Pastor Bonach's musical ability or his ability to understand the way people think and be able to give them good Christian counsel, because the gifts that God gave him, He gave him for the common good. And I'm part of the team, part of the set. And so, in a sense, His gifts are mine. Now, I don't have to be envious of Pastor Strobel's gift of faith, not just believing faith, but just this faith that God is going to make things work out and the gift of encouragement, because God gave those gifts to each one of my friends, not simply for their benefit, but for mine and for yours, for the common good. So, there doesn't need to be any envy when we remember to look at life in view of God's mercy. And if there is no pride and no envy, then we can celebrate the diversity. Each tool has its own purpose. And we can celebrate the fact that we have different interests and passions and abilities and gifts, because God's formed each one of us for a different purpose. And we can celebrate each other's successes. I don't have to be envious. When part of God's church celebrates a success, it's our success, because God has given these gifts to the church for the common good. So, my question for you is, which tool are you? Do you know where you fit in God's toolbox? The Apostle Paul, in the second half of our lesson for today, Romans 12, starting at verse 6, talks about some of the different tools that God has created for his church, for the common good. He writes, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying," and prophesying here is, most of the time in the New Testament, it's not talking about foretelling the future. It's more understanding God's word and applying it, the wisdom that King Solomon prayed for. If your gift is prophesying, that you understand God's word and can apply it to somebody else, then prophesy in accordance with your faith or in accordance with the faith, you know, to be faithful as you teach God's word to somebody. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The Apostle Paul is not listing every gift here. He's just recognizing that God has given his church different tools. You know, and I'll just be honest with you. This wrench set, I think I got it when I was about 10. That was back when I idolized my dad and I wanted to be like my dad. And my dad had the gift of just being able to do anything with his hands and build things, and I wanted to be just like him. So I got the tools and I realized I'm not like my dad. I don't have the same gifts as my dad. So these tools have pretty much been unused for about 50 years. I mention that because some of you have gifts that aren't listed here, and you go, well, maybe I have nothing to offer. Again, Paul wasn't listing all of them. And some of you have the gifts of being able to do things with your hands using tools like this that are just amazing. And I want you to know that I praise God for you. Your brothers and sisters in Christ praise God for you, no matter what gift you have. But what gift do you have? You see, what the devil wants us to think is, I have nothing to offer. And that's why I would encourage you to go online and just Google Wells, W-E-L-S, Wells Spiritual Discovery Tool, or Wells Spiritual Discovery Assessment. You'll find this online tool, and it takes you maybe 10 minutes just to go through a whole bunch of questions that will just help you to recognize that All right, there are some things that are just not you, but there are some things that are you. When I first took that assessment, it made me realize, okay, I do have gifts that God has given me. I am a useful tool in God's toolbox, and I have something to offer that perhaps somebody else doesn't. So do you. So again, Wells, spiritual gift discovery tool. Take that, and then could you share with us, just email me the top 5 spiritual gifts that you have. Would love to be able to just know what are the gifts, what are the tools that God has placed at our disposal. Now, it may seem like now is not the time to know anybody's spiritual gifts, because I'll be honest, there's not a lot of ministry happening here on campus. Right behind the camera, Aaron is doing a great job of filming, and there's a bunch of other people, but we're not certainly using the gifts and abilities that God has given his church in ways that we have pre-COVID. But that doesn't mean that your gifts aren't necessary. In fact, I would say that now is more important than ever to know how God has gifted you to serve others. Because people need the gift of prophecy. There are people right now who are struggling, afraid that it's the end of the world, and or struggling to, is God in control? And to be able to have that gift of prophecy, and to be able to just teach God's word to a friend or to a coworker who's fearful. I just heard this past week of one of our sisters in Christ who has the gift of teaching. She was explaining to one of her friends the difference between our church body and another church body. Her teaching was far better than me as a pastor. People need the gift of encouraging more than ever. People are in need of help. You see, God didn't give us the spiritual gifts he's given so that we only do them through the church. No. As we live our lives in view of God's mercy, remembering that God looks at us through the cross of Christ, and as we offer ourselves to others, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will open up our eyes to see, what tools do we have? And how can I use them as part of my worship of my Savior as I serve other people? There's one last thing that I want to mention. Did you notice that something's missing? The 7/16. Now, I can put a pair of pliers in there and try to use the pliers when I've got the 7/16, but it just doesn't do as good a job. I mention that because that's a great reminder that every one of us has something to offer to the people around us. And if we're missing, people will try to serve, but you know, God has created you in a special way to serve, and God's church needs you. So, I'm glad that I got this tool set 50 years ago. I probably have used it more just now. I hope that it's a helpful lesson for all of us. There is no pride in God's tool set. No reason for envy. Each one of us carefully crafted by our Maker just as he desires. Each of us has something to offer God's church, the people around us. And so, in view of God's mercy, let us offer our bodies, our lives, as living sacrifices in humble service. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
We have been celebrating the gifts of our Creator and Savior God to us to serve each other and Him in His kingdom. Let us take time now through the Nicene Creed to speak together our common faith in our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the foundational gifts for our service, His gifts to us in Jesus, our Savior, His gifts to us in God the Father and His love, His gifts to us in the Spirit and His work. We speak together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Dear friends, at this point in time, if we were still gathered together here in God's house, we would celebrate the gifts of our God by returning to Him His gifts to us of material things through the gathering of our offering. Please go to stpaulsmuskego.org/give to find ways to continue to support this ministry of the gospel here at St. Paul's through online giving, texting to give. It's all there online for you. And just to celebrate the gifts of God's people driving ministry, I am finishing up one Following the Promise class on Wednesday nights and just got rolling on one on Monday nights. And we have had over 45 people this summer involved in Following the Promise. About half of those non-members, just curious about the gospel of Jesus, whether how well they know it or not, curious about Jesus, curious about St. Paul's. And then half are members of St. Paul's who are just celebrating all over what Christ has done for all of us through His blood shed on the cross. So thanks to God's people and thanks to our God in heaven for His gifts to us and through us to continue doing His good news ministry in Jesus. Let us pray. Father, every time we gather to worship You, in person or online, help us see that You look at us through Jesus' cross. Help us daily claim that truth that we are Your forgiven children. In view of that mercy, help us today to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to You. Give us an understanding of the abilities that You have given us for the common good. Open our eyes to see the opportunity to put our spiritual gifts into practice, worshiping You by serving others. We pray for our nation, our community, our families in the face of the pandemic. Give wisdom to our elected leaders. Give our fellow citizens patience and strength to deal with the pain and loneliness caused by this pandemic. Help us as your family of believers to look out for each other and support each other even when we cannot gather in person. We pray for the sick, those dealing with COVID-19 and so many other illnesses. Grant them healing and protection. Comfort the dying with the clear vision of the glory they will experience with you in heaven. And hear us now as we bring before your throne our private petition. And in Jesus' name, we join in praying. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now we continue with the singing of the next hymn, We All Are One in Mission. And now, brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.